Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 says, "At that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At the midnight cry, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Lord, Lord,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.'" Gracious Father, we thank you for the truth that you have given to us. We reach out to take hold of it this morning, to embrace it, to hold it. Though we cannot fully understand it and probably won't until it takes place. But on that day, it will be too late for any preparation, any decisions to be made. I'm certain that that's the reason you told us in your word that, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Help us this morning in these few moments to once again grasp a truth that many of us know and have rehearsed many times. But may it come alive within us in this day that we're living. In keeping, Lord, with your desire for your church in the day of your coming. In Jesus' name. Our Lord transitions here from the 24th to the 25th chapter. He transitions from answering the questions that the disciples ask to now dealing specifically with those that belong to him. He's talking to the disciples, but now just not talking about the things that are going to happen in the last day, but now talking about the preparations that need to be made in preparing for his coming. Matthew 24, 45, he says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time?" How prepared are you for the coming of the Lord? I think that's a valid and a relevant question for the day in which we're living. How prepared are you? Not somebody else, but you personally, for the coming of the Lord. In our passage this morning, and I'm going to attempt to deal with the whole of the 25th chapter, and I have a reason for that, because I believe that they are all together, two parables and a metaphor that Jesus presents. They are establishing three areas, and they're huge. can't deal with all of it this morning. I just want to salt this into your life. But three huge areas that Jesus said should be before us constantly in relationship to his return. I want you to answer a question very honestly this morning, because I think it's very important for you, and the Lord is watching. How many of you would raise your hand this morning and say, I truly believe that Jesus is coming back? Okay? Let me add another caveat to it. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Now, wait. Again. You know, we need to be very, very careful of our proclamations and our ascensions, the things that we agree with or proclaim. Again, the Lord is watching. He knows your heart. He knows my life. He knows your life. So this is not about what you think that I might want to see, but this goes to the reality of shaping a life in relationship to the imminent return of Jesus. So now I ask the question, how many of you believe that Jesus is coming back soon? What's the evidence? What is the evidence that you believe that? In relationship to how you are handling, how you are dealing with everything else that is around you in life, including COVID-19. Everything. Because everything should be shaped by the reality of the imminent return of Jesus, if you believe it. See, it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I believe that he's coming soon. It's another thing to believe it to the point that your life is shaped by it. Hello? You know those amens that he was getting you? This is a good spot for him. Three things, huge things. Time, talent, and truth. I see the parable of the 10 virgins that I just read there as being more about time and, if you will, time management than about anything else. Oh, I've preached it and I've heard others preach it in a multitude of different ways. We talked about the oil representing the Holy Spirit, and you know, so you don't have to come tell me the other ways. I've probably preached of just about all of them, and they hold into this passage. But I believe by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit today that the Lord would have us to concentrate on the time aspect of this portion of Scripture. Five foolish, five wise, all of them the same, classified as virgins. He is setting the similarity, but then he will begin to show the differences. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. So in other words, they were not considering and concerned about the time. They felt like that they would have plenty of time when the call came out to be able to get things in order, to go and buy the oil that they needed. No hurry. Don't get shook up about it. Settle down, preacher. There's going to be other warnings that we're going to receive, so don't get shook up, because when I see, then I'm going to. The wise, however, took oil in their jars. That is to say that they did their due diligence. They did what was necessary. They anticipated that it might be some time before the master was to come, before the bridegroom would come to get his bride. They took the concern to heart and said, I'll deal with it now so that I'm ready when. At the midnight cry, here's the bridegroom. Verse 7, all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. They were virtually all the same. They were all looking for the bridegroom. This is so important. So very important, church. These were all what we would say today, Christians. They were all churchgoers. See? They were all looking for the bridegroom. They all lifted their hand that said they believed that he was coming back. But only half of them were taking the time, valuable time, to get oil in their lamps, to be prepared for the midnight hour. Those who without oil said, give us some of yours. Can't. It won't work. I've watched folks for my entire life. I've watched them as they have played church until a crisis came. And then they wanted the same kind of faith. They wanted the same kind of assurity. They wanted the same kind of peace that people who were living with their lamps trimmed all the time, they were wanting that same thing to be in their life, and it doesn't happen. I don't understand. I go to church every Sunday. It's not about that. Praise the Lord that we have the opportunity to come to church. We can't be the body of Christ unless we're together. It's a fact. But see, there's more at a personal level. There's a time that has to be put in to this relationship. It will be time that perhaps no one else will notice. It will be time sitting at the feet of the Master. It will be time reading the Word when you don't understand all of it, when it sometimes seems boring, when it doesn't all seem to fit together, and you think, I don't know, am I accomplishing anything? But then you come across Paul's words where he says, be washed with the water of the Word. That means it just flows over you. When he calls upon you and says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And you say, Lord, I need rest, so I'm going to sit at your feet. I'm going to take the time to get the oil that I need so that I'm ready when the midnight call comes out. Preparedness. If you don't remember anything else that I say today, remember this, please. Because I say this under the command of the Lord. And that's a huge statement, but I believe this with all of my heart. Your time is your most precious possession on this earth. And many Christians are withholding their most precious possession from the Lord, proclaiming that other things are more important in this season than the time that they would spend with Him. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus is coming back. I can give you many motivations this morning for turning that time toward the Lord. The peace that you will get, the joy that you will have, the companionship that you will know, the refreshing that you can enjoy. All the things that the Lord promised are all tagged to time spent in His presence. Can't substitute it. And He is a long time in coming. But it's because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember that. It is not for you and I to get ourselves entangled in all the stuff of this world to the point that we don't have time to be with him. You say, Pastor, you seem kind of harsh this morning. No. I have a mantle of emergency that has fallen down upon my shoulders, and I will not stand before the Lord Jesus and hold back one thing from what he has told me to tell you. You can pretend it doesn't exist. You can say that I'm a fool, but I'm telling you this morning, he's coming back. And there are going to be wise, and there are going to be foolish virgins. Not because Bill McKee said it, but because Jesus, the Son of the living God, proclaimed it. And folk, this is about our time. And when time, his time, do you realize the angels don't even know when? The Son who came and died upon the cross for our sins does not even know when. He tells us there in the 24th chapter, he says, only the Father knows. But just think of it. One of these days, apart from everything else, oh, he's going to wait for me. Oh, no, he's not. When the Father says, go get my children. Go get my children. Jesus will step out on the clouds of glory, like the song says. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain, but who have oil in our lamps, who are ready, who have given time and time and time to the Lord and pushed back the other things and said no to so many things in life because Jesus is coming. I cannot involve myself in that. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But I cannot trade that for the knowledge that I have that Jesus is coming back. Listen to me, please. You have to note from this parable that Jesus gave, all of the virgins knew that the bridegroom was coming. So it is not just about the knowledge of Jesus' return that makes the difference. It is about what you're doing with your time in preparation for that hour. I've had individuals tell me, Pastor, I'm taking a break. I'm stepping away from ministry. We're going to come and go from the church. Honestly, folks, when you say those kinds of things to me, I don't know what to do. I'm not your judge. So I have to hug your neck and say, God bless you. I love you. We'll be here waiting for you when you return. But in my heart of heart, I want to say, what in the world are you doing? In this day, in this hour, with the knowledge that we have of the prophecies that are fulfilled? What are you doing? What are you thinking? This isn't time to take a break. I'm not talking about taking a vacation. We should take the vacations. Those are God-given. Praise his name. But you come back refreshed. You come back and dig in. You come back and make sure when you go that somebody is taking care of your ministry and pouring their heart into it just like you were. That's a person who is really concerned about the kingdom of God, who's concerned about the body of Christ. We have people in leadership all the time who are gone for months, some with this COVID, gone for months, not even a phone call to say, hey, we care about the church. What's going on? Please tell us, how can we pray? How can we move? My heart breaks. My heart breaks because people are in an illusion. What we're doing here is the most important thing in all of the world. Now you can debate that all you want to, but I can prove it in the Word of God, and it's going to be proved out in eternity. He moves from time to talent. We got a beautiful visual of that this morning in kids' vernacular. So I don't have to explain that parable to you. But I will say the talent is broader than even just money. It is a unit of exchange. In other words, it is something that God has given to me that He wants me to use as His, as an investment. So there are many things that can fall into this. Monies? Yes. Possessions? Yes. Talents? Abilities? Yes. I believe it's all in there. He picked exactly the right word. And by the way, if you do a little bit of research, although a talent, the word there, talaton, it means a unit of exchange, of weight, then of coinage. So in other words, it has different values. I know some of your writings down in your Bible may have a specific dollar amount, but it really, it amounts to, was there a talent of gold or a talent of silver or a talent of brass? It makes a difference, see? But the truth of the matter is that the master gave a talent which would have been equivalent to 20 years' wages of a day worker. One talent. So it was a lot. And can I tell you this morning that our God is still giving talents worth of possession, His possession, into the people of God. He's pouring in to lives what is needed in His kingdom. We need to remember this. See, it is not that He is invested these talents in us so that we can gain awards or acclamation of other men, but He has invested in our lives as His worthy servants. He has invested, taken what is His and invested it into our lives so that He then can expect a return in His kingdom. What He has given to us as stewards, He has given to us in lending, if you will, or in holding, if you will, and expecting and anticipating that we will do so much with that that we will be able to return to Him more. Now let me speak first of all to that. That's a trust, Cindy. That's amazing. Because, you see, Jesus is talking about Himself. He's talking about the Father. That the Father, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Did you realize that? Everything belongs to Him. So when He gives us an investment of talent, of ability, of finances, or whatever it is, He is doing that not just to enrich us so that we can glory in it, but rather so that we can then pour it into His kingdom in investment, and souls would be saved. Lives would be changed. People would be encouraged. The hungry would be fed. Come on. Hey, we might as well look at this in truth. I mean, we can dance around it and walk out of here and all of us just feel so good about ourselves. Huh? But the Lord is pouring talents worth of possessions and abilities upon His people. And not for their benefit, but for His. See, there's some of these things that we really need to get straightened around in our minds. If the Lord has blessed you and you have abilities as a farmer, you've got a challenge before you. The challenge is, Lord, You are blessing me. You have given me a talent and abilities to do this. Now, how can I use this to enrich Your kingdom? thank you that I get to fill my freezer full of meat. But Lord, are you wanting me to invest some of that into your kingdom? Are you wanting me to help feed the poor? Lord, you know that I go to Aldi's and get the cheapest can of peas that I can get and bring it to his hands extended already. And the Lord says, look how I've blessed your farm. Now forgive me, farmers, I know that I'm probably picking on you a little bit, but I hope everybody gets the metaphor here. You see, if we would first of all realize that everything that is good that comes into our lives has come to us from God. And it is not just to enrich us, but it is to enrich His kingdom. Some of our young people, you've been given talents and abilities in sports and things like that. Praise God, that is fantastic. But the question then is, how are you using that to produce fruit in the kingdom of God? See, that's the challenge that is before us. That's not mine. I have my own. But each and every one of us. If we truly believe that Jesus is coming back soon, it should shock us when we read that. And it goes, oh my goodness, that means he's coming back and he is going to ask me for all of the talents, everything he's poured into my life. He's going to want that back and he's going to be expecting a return on his investment. So can you help me this morning to agree that preparedness means we need to take a real look at the talents and the things that the Lord has poured into our lives and simply say, and this isn't for Pastor Bill, this is between you and Jesus, to say, okay, how am I bringing a return to His kingdom with what He has given me? You see, if you don't, then you will be the guy with the one talent who took it out and buried it. Lord, here's this talent that you gave me. Thank you so very much. And he'll say, what'd you do with it? Well, I took it and I buried it. Huh? Oh, isn't it something when the parables come alive? Can somebody praise the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. Come on. This is too heavy. This is too difficult. No, it isn't actually. It is just coming to an awareness. And folks, let me tell you something. This isn't about your past. The blood of Jesus covers over our past. Praise His name. So you can, today, in this moment, you can give Him your lethargy. You can give Him your disobedience or whatever it may be. You can place it under His blood and it's done. It's gone. Where the effect is, what are you going to do with it from here on? My time is running out, but I need to tell you about the truth. If you go on over there, it's under this in verse number 31. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne and all the nations will be brought before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the other hand. Now, we'll not get into all the imagery that is involved right there. It could be kind of interesting, but we won't go there. I will tell you this is not a parable. He is not saying like or as. It's not a metaphor, other than the fact that he is describing these two groups, one group as sheep and the other as goats. This is for the clarity of censors. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate people one from another, like a shepherd separates sheep. Folk, this is Judgment Day. He's describing Judgment Day. The truth that Jesus is communicating for what He has put up on my heart for today is in verse number 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. A couple of things to point out. One is these brothers of mine. So he's talking about those who belong to him, those who are serving him, those who are part of his kingdom. Salvation is not just a matter of words, but of deeds. Whatever you did for one of these, not whatever you felt in your heart, not whatever you thought about, but whatever you did. James 2:17, in the same way, faith by itself is not, if not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, you just can't say, I believe. There's got to be some action that follows it up. The Lord will be looking for it on Judgment Day. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh my goodness, prepared in advance for us to do. That goes back to what we've talked about several weeks back, and that is His plan for your life. God has a plan for your life and mine. Jesus is making a point that the care of those who are His is the life work of the righteous. You know, we often think, well, the duty, the responsibility of the believer is to go into the world and preach the gospel, and it is. But one of our first and foremost responsibility is the care and concern for those who belong to the kingdom. If time would permit this morning, I could walk you through the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul and over and over and over again to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Philippi, on and on and on. He is telling them that they need to have concern for one another. You do not live your Christian life on your own. Your life has been given talents, been given abilities, been given things by God, entrusted by God, that you would work into His kingdom and His work and His people. You know, I'm always amazed at these, you know, these prayer sheets. Delene says, how many copies do you want to make, Pastor? I'm thinking, okay, there's 414 people who are part of this congregation. Let's see. Well, 50 will do. Just run 25 full sheets and cut them in half. 50 will do, and we'll throw a bunch of them away. I'm sorry if I'm exposing too much of my heart to you this morning, but folk, this is truth. You see, we can lift up our hands. We can say, oh, I'm ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm ready to stand before Him now because I've been washed in His blood. Praise God for that. But that's not the end of your responsibility. If you are redeemed and you are watching for the bridegroom, then you need to be taking the time to get the oil in your lamp filled to capacity. You need to be taking the talents that He has put into your life as an investment, not to give them to you, but they are His for you to be a steward over until He returns and expects that you have done something with them. And then the truth that you and I should walk around with is that I am part of an interdependent body of Christ. You don't believe me? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The arm cannot say to the leg, I have no need of you. How could he say that? Because we need each other desperately. And hear me, not just in times of sorrow and struggle and difficulty, when you want your name to go on this list and everybody in the whole church to pray for you because you've got something happening. But on those days where everything is working in your life, you would take one of these and kneel before the Father and cry out, my brothers, my sisters, they are hurting. They are in need. And I'm going to give them some water. I'm going to give them some clothes. I'm going to give them some things, and I'm doing it in your name because you said, inasmuch as you do it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. And then, by the way, I must tell you as I close, that he says when you did not do these things. He's talking to the same group. He said, when you did not take the time, when you did not care enough to pray for your brothers and sisters, you didn't care enough when COVID-19 was going along to make a phone call and say, are there people in our congregation who are doing without, maybe don't have work? What can I do? How can I help them? How can I reach out and help them? Because we are a body. We are together. We belong to the Lord. And as I do it to Larry, I do it to Jesus. And when I neglect his need, I'm neglecting Jesus. And folk, you need to read how that concludes. Because the truth of the matter is, he will pronounce and say, I never knew you. But Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I stood up in church. I did this. I didn't. He said, I never knew you. You never had my heart. You never realized my intention. Your time was your time, and you divvied out a little to me. Your talents, they weren't your talents. They were my talents that I simply gave to you as a steward. You didn't care enough to use those abilities to further my kingdom, to bless my people. I never knew you. And can I tell you what he says? Depart from me. That horrifies me, church. Because I know that those are people who have sat and listened to the preaching of the word that I have loved and cared for and prayed for and visited in the hospital and buried their dead and all of these things. And they will not be with Jesus because they never really knew him. Their time was theirs. Their talents were theirs to glory in. And he never realized the truth. That we are part of a body that belongs to him. Paul says it there in Ephesians chapter 1, that all things, including the church, hang from him. They're suspended from him. So you see, this isn't my body. Somebody says, your church. No, I correct them quickly. No, this is the Lord's church. I have a season of obedience to take this book and to pour it over your lives, to stand with you when you're hurting, when you're sick. This is his church. And can I tell you this morning? He knows every single one of us. You can fool me, you can fool others around you, but he knows just how important is his coming to your life. Let me end where I started. How prepared are you for the coming of the Lord? That's the question. And that's what the whole 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel is all about. Thank you for your patience this morning. Thank you for allowing me to pour out what he put into my heart.